Welcome to ROM Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a weekly podcast which celebrates inclusive romance. For this episode, the last that Melinda and I are doing of 2019, we will be continuing the awesome tropes of reunion romances, second chance romance, and coming home romances, which are great for the holidays. On today's episode, we have a very special guest with us, Melissa Blue. She is our first guest, and we are so excited to have her. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy our laugh-filled episode. All right, so hello, Melinda.
Hey.
So we are super excited because we have a guest. So it's not just us anymore talking.
I know, I'm excited for our first guest on our episode.
Yay. So we have Melissa Blue here. Hey, Melissa.
Hi, guys.
AKA Dakota Gray.
Yes, AKA Dakota Gray. We cannot forget that because that is a story for later. And do you prefer Mel or Melissa?
Mel is fine.
All right. So this episode, we are going to be talking all about second chance and reunion romance, which may or may not happen around the holidays, maybe the weeks in between holidays. And so
we're really, just going to have it all.
Yeah, we're going to have it all. We are inclusive in both recommendations and plot points. Mel, could you just tell people a little bit about yourself?
Well, okay. I started writing in 2004. I was pretty sure I was going to write romantic suspense. And then I read this book on criminal minds, and I stayed up for like almost 3 days because it terrified me. So I figured I maybe needed to write something else. And so I pretty much have been writing contemporary romances ever since, some sweeter than others. and yeah, I'm total fangirl, everything that I love.
Yes. And it shows. We love that. We love that. So
have you ever even tried to write romantic suspense? That just fascinates me.
Yeah, my first book was a disaster, but it was mostly supposed to be a romantic suspense. And I wrote another book after that, which it kind of like was borderline romantic suspense because it had a paranormal element to it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so
that fascinates me because you're so good at contemporary.
Like I had zero interest, absolutely zero interest in writing contemporary romances at all. Like, no, I was gobbling romantic suspense like there was no tomorrow. But, you know, in order to better understand how to write, you know, a good villain, I picked up a book on, it was from like petty criminals, you know, people who shoplift, to serial killers. And like the later end, it didn't sit well on my soul. I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, there's no way that I can slip into someone's skin if a nonfiction book keeps me from going to sleep at night.
You're like, oh no.
Yeah, you know, and this was back when I was younger, and I absolutely did love, you know, scary movies, being scared, but it's like, for me, it was a total difference when I'm having to get into like a serial killer's mind, and because they're cracked, but like it just freaked me out and I couldn't do it.
I am the world's biggest chicken, and when I was growing up, my mom was like, yeah, let's watch Psycho, or, you know, let's watch some Silence of the Lambs. And yeah. You know, it was just like, okay, well, your mom, I guess I'll watch this. Nobody else's mom is letting them watch an R-rated movie when they're 10.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, all right. But now I grew up too Southern and too Pentecostal for horror movies.
You grew up in a semi-horror movie then.
I mean, really.
No, but you know, the funny thing about Psycho is that movie, it freaked me out. I think that was probably the beginning of the end when I really started loving scary movies, because it was just the coldness in your imagination working double time, because they don't actually show like anything horrible, but you're just sitting here watching this guy clean up this murder. And I'm telling you that that was it for me. Like I was pretty much over scary movies after that.
And that music, that score is also very frightening.
I mean, he did his job well. He frightened me away from like a genre.
So this is so obviously our holiday is Halloween.
Unexpectedly.
I love this. I love this so much. So I just have to ask, what got you into romance, and what has made you stay there?
It seems like a cliche. I had my heart broken and then I found romance and brought me hope, but it really did. It really did. But it was a lot going on at the same time. So I had graduated a year early from high school. So that was one thing. I had my first big, you know, adult emotional relationship, and my great aunt had just passed away. So it was a lot going on at one time. And so I just felt like I needed a little bit more hope, something light and fluffy in my life. And so I had read romance before, but at that point it went from 0 to 100. I was reading like 3 to 4 Harlequins a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah. Like at the peak. So it started off real slow, you know, the gateway drug of Nora Roberts. But like there was this thrift store right across the street. I could get like the Harlequins. I want to say they were like 5 cents. The mass paperbacks were like 25. Hardbacks were like 50. So like I was in hog heaven. So I would just buy a bunch of Harlequin. Like I didn't care if it was Presents, Desires, whatever line they had. If it was a Harlequin, I was reading it. When it got to the point of I was reading 3 to 4 in a day, I started to get bored. Not of the genre per se, but like I needed more like a tactile way into the genre, into romance, into the whole experience. And that's kind of how I turned into writing. And then after I started writing it, that was it for me. Like there was like no looking back. It was romance all the way.
Yay. Happily ever afters.
For us too, though. And then, so you write both under Mel Blue and Dakota Gray. Mm-hmm. And so what made you do both of those pen names?
This is the longest story you're ever going to have about how pen names started. I'm going to try to make it short. When I first started writing, I was Melissa Blue. I was published with the Wild Rose Press. That experience was both good and bad. Like my sales were terrible. And so I decided to reinvent myself as a contemporary romance author, like single title, almost kind of books. And so that name was Sophia Harper. Now the e-publishing revolution started. And so I had all these books on my hard drive. You know, they were a little bit more Swedish than the ones I was currently writing, and those were way more steamy. And so I decided, you know what, it's a dead name. No one really cares about it. I kind of don't care about it. So let me throw these books out under this name. And if it all goes horribly wrong, I can pretend like it never happened. And so that was kind of like the comic book story of my, you know, origins as Melissa Blue. So what's funny is it turned out that Melissa Blue became a much bigger deal than Sophia Harper ever was. And so later on, I decided to clean up my backlist and get rid of all my sweet titles to have better branding. And then I did all that. And then I got this idea to do Perv. And I'm like, that is going to wreck all this branding I just freaking did. I would have wasted my time if I put this book under Melissa Blue, because if you've ever read Perv, and I know you have, you know it's nothing like even my hottest of right. Life, Melissa Blue Bucks. And so I was like, okay, let me just create another name. If nothing good or bad happens with Perv, I can act like it never happened. So that's really how I choose a pen name. I could act like it never happened if it goes wrong.
I love this. This is great. I mean,
that's super smart, obviously, from a branding perspective, clearly. And I've read the Melissa Blue books and the Dakota Gray books, and I love the Filth books. They are just, mm-hmm. I love them so much. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on. Clearly,
I know you get them too. I'm aware you guys are fans. Yes.
I would just like to say that Perv is a quintessential holiday book that one must read at the Thanksgiving table.
Oh my gosh, Mika.
I'm still tickled to this day about that.
So now you have to share with everyone.
So I got Perv, and essentially it came out like right when I found out that the Kindle app was accessible on the phone. So it was like a big deal for me, and I got this book and I started reading and I was like, damn. And then I went to, I was at my friend's family's house for Thanksgiving, and they teased me a lot about reading romances. And so they were like, well, what are you reading right now? And I very shamelessly said, I'm reading a book called Perv. and it was kind of like, you know, and they laughed and they were like, oh my gosh, no, I can't believe you're reading this book. Of course you'd read a book called Perv. Then one by one, they would come up to me and they're like, so could you send me like a sample of that book? And like from all over the age gamut, right? Like from aunties to grandmas to the cousins, you know.
A book pusher.
And then we're like sitting at the table Thanksgiving, passing around the dressing, and somebody decided to start reading this sample at the table. And
oh my gosh, I'm imagining this at my Thanksgiving.
And then they're like looking at me like, Mika, wow, this is like university level like romance, you know. We were expecting like some sweet, gentle like introduction. You give us Perv, and then they all bought it. Like they're like, do you have it yet? I got it. Do you have it yet? Yeah, I got it. It's syncing to my Kindle now. Oh wow, this is so great. Oh my gosh. And the guys were like, we can't believe you're reading this. And somebody was just like, well, you know what? Are you feeling threatened? Because maybe you should be. So it was just
read it for it research. Was so funny.
I mean, for real. And so now that is the story that I love to tell, because, you know, I guess only I would think to go and make this a family bonding moment over Perv.
I love it.
Not only did you read it, and you also, like, they all ended up buying it. Because, of course, they do. I just think that's...
They did. And they're just like, oh, it's here. Oh, I'm going to read chapter one now. This is great, you know? So, and later on, I would just get phone calls or, like, Facebook messages from people that were like, I just finished Perv. Wow, when is the next one coming out? It's so good.
So that's book one. And so one of the things that we wanted to talk about was book three, because that's the second chance book. And so that one is hardcore. And I love that book because it's told from Duke's point of view. Are all of them told from the male point of view? I can't remember now.
It's majority the male point of view, but Duke is like no one else's, and the other
one, that one was for sure. And I just think that is really hard to pull off, but
yeah,
I love it so much in that book because I do not miss her point of view at all. It's completely from his point of view, but I was so totally into it the entire time, and I never once was like, oh, I wish I had her point of view. And I think that that's one of the things that can be really hard to pull off. But this totally, I just love that part of it.
I think what it is, what made it easy is that, well, you've read the book. You know how stubborn he is. So he has a very, firm handle on his own outlook of the world. And it's sometimes fair to himself. Sometimes it's unfair. And I felt like I'm not sure what Kennedy could bring to the story because it's not hers at all in any way. She doesn't have to really arc. It was all about Duke, you know, which of course he felt like that was like the right thing anyway. But I think his voice lent itself more to a solo approach than even like Adonis line where it's really more 50-50.
And I don't know about what you guys think, what it is about Second Chance books that you like, but I think that one of the things that it hinges on is a good grovel. Like if you don't get a good grovel in a Second Chance book, then I think that for me, at least, it all falls apart and I'm not going to believe it. And we get a good grovel from
this. Like good.
Like, and
well, for me, and what's funny is like for me with Second Chance Romance, it's not necessarily the grovel or that someone did something wrong. It's were they able to fix what broke them the first time?
Yeah,
that's why I love reunion romances. And if you can't get that right, then I'm going to be pretty sure they're not going to make it even the second time around.
And sometimes the grovel, sometimes really the trouble was that neither character was really ready to be what they needed to the others or for themselves during that time.
Yes.
And I feel that was particularly true in Hardcore because, I mean, Duke, he needed that time to kind of come to realize and
pull his kick in his nuggets. That's what he needed. Yeah.
See, I love how we're like, you know, oh, Duke, he just needs more. He just needs some time to find himself and some understanding. And Mel's like, well, you know, he just needed his ass kicked, really.
He needed both. He needed both. I'll be fair.
And Jen Reed's Romance wrote a great review on the Book Queen site, which is actually what led me to buy it forever ago when she wrote it.
And okay.
That's what led me to it. And it made a really good point about the parental point of like how it was the mother in it.
Yeah, the mom.
Yeah. And how like a lot of times like we don't really need their input in a book, but in this book it was very much needed.
It was vital.
Yes. So, her review is really great.
Yeah, because and I'm going to be honest, like, Duke's book was very hard to write because one of the timing when I was writing this book, so this was during the election time that I was writing, so things were a bit tough. and two is because finding my way in to get to the vulnerable bits of him was so tough. So I totally cheated. I'm like, okay, he's this rough, very rigid person. Who is he soft with? And I'm like, of course he'd be soft with his mom. I mean, he's not going to be like an a-hole to his mom because that's not necessarily who he is. He hates his father, but like he's not going to feel that way about his mom. And right. So bringing her onto the page was vital because you really needed it to see, like, he kind of does become a teddy bear, and he listens to her because she's smart and she's right. And, you know, in a sense, that's kind of what he respects. He respects someone who will call him to task.
That's it.
I just thought that was, I really liked her input in that book. I thought it was great. So I would recommend the entire Filth series, personally. I don't know that I can choose my favorite, because they were all great. And the other thing I liked about them is how sex positive they are.
Yes. Like,
there's Romancelandia needs sex positive from both the female and male point of view, and this has it in spades all over the place. And so I always recommend it because of that reason. I just love that so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for letting us fangirl about your books to you.
Well, this time, you know, Melinda was totally the one running the conversation.
I love it.
So clearly she feels strongly about hardcore.
I do. I really love these books so much. I am a big fangirl for them. I can't help it.
Well, I absolutely appreciate it. I mean, it really is what helped me write the next two books, because the spotlight of Perv totally got into my head and writing became very difficult. Because I wanted to kind of live up to that hype, but, like, I had to tell myself that's impossible to do. Nate is kind of a character who you can't escape or live down. So the next two books had to be something almost entirely different on their own. And so I really do appreciate the fact that people have loved Hardcore and Adonis Line just as much, if not for totally different reasons.
Yeah, I think they're each one is different and can stand on their own completely. And I actually read them out of order. So
what? Okay. You read a book? Hold, please hold. You read a book out of order?
I did. I entered at this book actually at Hardcore, and then I went backwards.
Whoa. I know. Need a moment.
I know. It was ridiculous, but I still love them just on their own. So I feel like the whole series, because of that, it completely stands on its own. So
it really does. It really does. As much as I give Melinda a hard time for reading, which is incredibly ironic considering who I am.
Yeah, must enter where you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what ones, like what reunion or second chance books would you recommend?
Me or
you?
Okay. Let me bring out my list.
All right.
The first one I have is Only for a Night by Naima Simone.
I love her.
So clearly you see why it made the list. and they were the hero and heroine. Like, I'm not going to say their names because I'm not going to embarrass myself and act like I remember. But like their childhood friends. And he was a legitimate bad boy and she was the good girl. And so he told himself all these years that, you know, he couldn't touch her at all. And then the heroine goes through something really tragic and she really wants to let loose. And she goes to him to like introduce her into the BDSM world. And then it's just such a good read. That was the first one. That's the one that I remembered, you know, without having to go through my Kindle. So.
This is awesome.
She writes steamy books and she writes just like crazy tropes that I'm like, oh, I'm not going to like that. And then I'm like sold.
Yeah. She always seems to make whatever trope feel fresh. And I don't know how she does it. But it always feels like, oh, I didn't see it in that way, you know, something in that way, especially in this book particular where it's like, okay, you have the BDSM club, you know, that should be cliche by now, especially this far out. You have the good girl, the bad boy, but it felt totally fresh as I read it and I couldn't tear myself away.
This sounds really good. I want to read this.
You should check it out. I recommend Naima. She's great.
Yeah,
I need this in my life. Because I also love that whole, you know, like that dynamic of going to someone who already is very familiar with a lifestyle,
yeah.
You know, to introduce you, because it just has that, like, I think that like safety is super sexy. Like, I know that sounds weird to say, but I do.
No. That makes all the sense. I mean, that is the bedrock of BDSM. It is. Yes. Totally about safety. And anyone who writes it any differently is totally getting it wrong. So yeah, that makes all the sense.
What else you got for us?
Okay, I have Seer by Suleika Snyder.
Super big fan.
Yeah, yeah. I think this one is like kind of underrated title for her. It's pretty much a Gordon Ramsay fanfic with complete kink involved. And so,
oh my God.
Once again, they weren't childhood lovers, but they might as well have been. So they were kind of like playing into sort of the dom submission sub game. Like the very strictures of playing it. Like, you do this for me. This is how you talk to me. This is, you know, they were playing in that when they were younger. And then obviously they get older and they're actually, you know, able to play all the reindeer games. And so I absolutely love this one because it was tense. This is the best way I could put it. It was very tense. It was very angsty. And it was just super sexy. And so, like, that one.
I've read this one, too. They had really good chemistry in it.
Yeah, they did. From, like, the very first page. Very first.
Yeah. I think she writes really excellent chemistry between the couple, even if they don't know it. I feel like as the readers are like, holy crap, just get together.
Would you bang it?
Please, just bang it out. Come on.
And she writes really good food, and this is a chef book.
Yes. Yes, she makes me hungry every time I read her books. Like,
I just want to sit in the restaurant and just please feed me random characters from this book. Please, I am so hungry.
And so next on my list is Trash by Mia Hopkins. And I realized at this point, I really have like a thing for books that start off with one night stands or reunion romances.
I love this.
Like, this is my total catnip. Oh, you had sex 10 years ago and then you see each other again? Yes.
Yes, let's go.
No, this is one of my top books of the year and I didn't even.
Oh, my God. So yeah,
this is an amazing book.
It really is. It really is. I mean, it sets itself apart from Thirsty in so many ways, but I think it's almost a slow burn romance without like the slow burn. It's like the emotional part of slow burn. And that's why I really, really love Trash.
And when I was talking about you writing from the male point of view, I was also thinking of Mia Hopkins.
Oh God, she's so good.
She's so good at that, because when I read Thirsty and Trash, I was like, wow, she does this ridiculously well. And she also does this great job of putting male like mental health issues on page in such a nuanced way. I just really, really loved it.
And I think her background really helps in that regard, because I want to say she used to work with convicts, ex-cons, and integrating them, helping them integrate back into society. So I know that background probably definitely helped her have a good hold on it. But like, yeah, like I've never really read books where it's, the world building feels emotional in a sense, and East LA feels emotional in this sense. Like, you could tell when you're leaving the block in this book when you read it. I mean, it's a total different sense, and I love that she's able to convey that with character, with the romance. I mean, her writing's just breathtaking to me.
It is. And her sex scenes, Mika, holy crap.
Crap.
They're so emotional and like, oh, like I don't do a good job of even describing them, even 5% of how she does it. It's amazing.
Listen, I will legit read a book off of people's excitement alone, like hearing you talk about it. So hearing you guys talk about this. So are these the books with the, like, are they doing like a brewery or winery or something like that?
Yeah,
and they're really good, and I just love everything about it. I just really think that she is a really unique talent. I think that she was probably one of my favorite, like, I think was Thirsty her debut?
I think it was her debut as a pubbed.
Yeah.
I think the rest of her writing was self-pubbed, but, like, don't quote me on it.
Sweet. Okay. Great. And I was just going to mention that there's nothing like really good world building in the contemporary. Like when you feel that city, really? The city coming to life or wherever they are, just coming to life is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and she does that really, really well. I've read some of her cowboy books and she does that there too. But like it's on another level in the brewery series for sure.
Ooh, I'm going to have to read some of these cowboy books because I love books with a good cowboy. I do. Won't see me on a horse. I'm too tall and too uncoordinated.
Like I always say, I'm going to get on a horse, but I know I never likely will. Let's not do that to each other is pretty much how I feel about that. Now, what's next on my list is Incy Black. I don't know how to pronounce that. And I've known her for years, so I feel a little bit ashamed. She wrote Hard to Forget. And this one was... Okay, this book is sometimes why I sort of regret I gave up my romantic suspense past history. Because it's so detailed. It's so nuanced, and at the heart of it really is still a romance. And so pretty much what happened is these two characters, they work for like a MI6 because she's a British author, and one time a deal goes really bad, the heroine gets really, really messed up, and then she pretty much gets gaslit by the MI6 and she gets kicked out of this very high, you know, octane job, and she kind of almost becomes a recluse. And so the people they're going after, and at the time she was, you know, in a relationship with her partner. I think he was her partner. Either way, they were in the same realm in order to hump and bang. And so, so a couple of years later, the bad guys come back and they're going after her. And so her ex is then in charge of protecting her. So even though it's a reunion romance, it's a bodyguard trope. And I'm
and the gasps.
Yes.
Now you and see who is why this I made the list.
Who was that by, Mel?
Incy Black. Incy Black.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of her.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the rest of the podcast. I'm going to go read this.
I'm like, please hold. I have to find this immediately.
Yeah, and Hard to Forget is the second book in the series. And the first one, like, they're both enemies to lovers. Both book one and two. So, yeah, in case you needed some extra.
Interesting. I'm very excited about this.
Is there good banter in this book? Because Melinda loves yes. good banter.
Yes. Oh, there is. I'm so
excited. I honestly feel like her dialogue is very, very close to being pitch perfect. And when I say very close to being pitch perfect, I mean it is.
This is very exciting for me right now.
Yeah, I absolutely enjoy her books.
I'm really excited about this because I love a good bodyguard romance. And yeah. We will have to tell you after the podcast is done. We're going to have to ask you which team you're on for enemies to lovers.
Oh, my God.
Don't even start, Mika.
And last on my list, it gets an honorable mention, is Appealed by Emma Chase. Now, the reason why it's only an honorable mention is because in that series, Sustained exists, and you really, 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 really cannot, like, beat out Sustained for any kind of book you ever want to write ever in your life.
That is high praise right there.
This is some super high praise.
So, yeah, Sustained is, it's not a reunion romance, so, but I still wanted to mention it because it exists. So Appealed is one. And what's funny is that the heroine name is Kennedy.
That's funny.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and the hero's a lawyer.
Ooh, did you say he's a player, the hero?
No, he's a
lawyer.
Oh, a lawyer, yeah, sorry.
He's a lawyer. Like, and I'm trying to think, was he a playboy? I think he was like a former playboy. When he was a kid, he ended up losing his leg, and so I think that was, to me, that was really interesting how they handled how she handled that. Because it was sort of, you know, he went to therapy, he's big on therapy, and he's really a healthy character in a sense, but he's still screwed up. And so I think that to me is the reason why appealed to me. Plus, you know, reunion romance, obviously.
Interesting. It's been a while since I've read her. I read the first few of those, but I don't think I read Appealed.
I think it's the last book in the series, I want to say.
Interesting.
But yeah, after Sustained, I mean, I'm not sure many people could, like, get over their book hangover, so.
Okay. Okay, so I have two recs. I told Mika that I would do the recs. So I have, my first one is, let's see, it is Jackie Lau. And this title, I mean, it just screams this episode. It's Second Chance Road Trip for Christmas.
I love her titles. I love her titles. Like, they're not ambiguous at all. You know exactly what you're going to get.
That's awesome. You know exactly where you're going.
What I love about her is that she just, I think her marketing, I think the smartest authors know their genres really well and mm-hmm. how to market their books. And Jackie does that really well. Whenever I see her synopsis or blurbs, I'm like, I'm sold. This one, so the two main characters had broken up, like, I think 3 years before the start of the book, and it was not a bad breakup or anything. And so they are going home for Christmas, and their parents arrange for them to ride home together, hence the title.
Oh my god, yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
Same.
So they're in a confined space, and then they're driving home together, and at first I'm like, I really didn't like the male main character because you're like, okay, he's just uptight. But then you're like, no, he's not. He's just basically exactly like me. He's concerned about traffic and he wants to make it home before a storm.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, no, he's fine. And so I fell in love with him. And then this is not a spoiler. This is in the blurb. There's only one bed and they get snowed in.
Like, ooh, yes.
Like, what else do you need? It was so cute. Like, it was a quick read. I really like her because she has a lot of really realistic characters. Like, in her male main characters are usually either introverted or they, like, prefer, like, numbers over people. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's more realistic than,
over top heroes, yeah.
Yes, right. And I just genuinely like that a lot of times. And they're usually low angst, and I wreck it. It was just a cute, like, tropey book. I liked it a lot.
I mean, honestly, you sold me on it.
I mean, sheesh.
Only one bed and snowed in. Like, oh.
And snowed in. And this is after, like, being stuck together on a road trip. Like, right, oh my god.
Right. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I want this book.
And then my last one, I've been really excited about this book because I read my first Brenda Jackson book last year mm-hmm. and I couldn't believe it took me that long to read her. And I really like her Catalina Cove series. Mm-hmm. And that last one just came out, I think, like a month ago. And I've been listening to that last one. It's called Finding Home Again. And basically the first two have been a huge, like, build up to this last book, and so I was so excited it finally came out.
Awesome.
Because these two main characters have had 10 years apart. They were, like, basically high school sweethearts, were planning to get married, and then, like, this huge misunderstanding, and they break up. And throughout the first two books, they basically hate each other. And so,
oh yeah,
I'm like, you guys need to get together. What is your problem?
Have you not read your back blurb? Do you not know?
And so, like, the tension that I feel at the start of this book is like, oh, when are they going to get together? And so obviously we find out what the problem was, and it was a massive, intense misunderstanding, but Brenda did a great job of explaining it and made me, like, buy into it, and there was a great grovel. And I believed it. And then the female main character, like, puts him through his paces, and again, the good gravel, and she really made him, like, buy that forgiveness in a good way. Like, I actually totally bought it. So I just really like her writing, and again, really writes well to the tropes. I think a lot of times reviewers in Romancelandia kind of forget about Brenna Jackson, that she exists, and I really like her writing. And
yeah, I think they do that a lot with a lot of Harlequin category authors.
Yes, I think so too.
I really don't see people very often pimping them in a way, you know, in a sense, like they would in any other they wrote self-published even. So yeah, I absolutely agree. She doesn't get enough accolades.
Yeah, and I met her last year and she was delightful. So I think, she was just so sweet and like sat there and talked to me for a good long time in a signing line, and she was just delightful. And this book,
she is like, I met her at this RWA. Oh my God, she was so nice. She totally felt like someone who would take you under their wing. Like, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have shooed me away.
wanted to ask me all these questions about something, and I was like, wow, you're just the nicest woman ever. Like, oh, she was. Yeah. Yeah.
And the funniest thing is, like, she, like, we were talking about some social media, and she's like, yeah, I'm not really on it. I'm like, really? Like, how can you escape it? But pretty much she escapes it by writing. So I should take her advice.
Because social media is a trash fire sometimes. So.
Oh, God.
So those are my recs. I would highly recommend all of the Catalina Cove. I think it's great.
I'm definitely going to check them out because I think I'm more familiar with her Westmorelands than anything else.
I think I read the first one of those. These are the first one on Catalina Cove was my first Brenda Jackson, and it made me. And then I read like a super old one from like 2000, and it was delightful. It was just tropetastic, and her books are just so genuinely great.
Yeah, she totally hits the spot. Totally hit the spot.
Yes.
So before we head out, do either one of you have anything else that you want to add?
Oh, I have one Twitter follow to recommend for Inclusive Recs, like we do every podcast. Sharonda at Brazen Babe Reviews is a great inclusive follow to do if you are looking for those. Her Twitter is at BBR Reviews. Her blog, Brazen Babe Reviews, reviews books that are written by Black authors and authors of color. So I would highly recommend to follow those if you're looking for a new one. And we'll include that in the show notes if anyone is looking for that.
And I will second that rec because she's also hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So perfect. Well, Mel, thank you for joining us.
It was such a treat.
You are so much fun. You're so fun to follow on Twitter. I love reading what you write. I really enjoy your books, and you are enjoyable.
I'm glad because sometimes I'm like, oh, God, maybe I'm being too much.
And no.
And then you guys join in, and so I'm like, no, I'm all right.
Yeah, never too much.
And Melinda, thank you once again for, we're doing this thing again, so it's always fun.
Yes, always.
And as we go into the season of the holidays, I just want to leave you with this thought. Please do not, you cannot just eat anyone's potato salad.
Oh my gosh.
Mac and cheese or
or
sweet potato pie.
Second chance is good for romance. It is not good for people who mess up the holiday dinners. Don't do it. Okay. If you know that there's somebody whose potato salad is out there looking like a hot mess, listen, it's always going to be that way without some great intervention. So do not do that to yourself.
Especially if you've been sitting out for more than an hour. Don't do it.
Yes. Yes. My mom spit out my aunt's potato salad at Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Is that why you brought up perf?
I mean, Thanksgiving is exciting for me. There's always something. Just my aunt said she made the better potato salad, and my mom has zero filter, and she went to taste it, and she spit it out like in front of God and everybody.
Oh my God! She didn't even do like the slide into the napkin, and spit it out.
No, nothing. It was just straight like. So second chance is good for romance, not for food.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Rom Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a new weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance one trope at a time. If you'd like weekly recommendations for inclusive romance, please take a moment to subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at Rom Book Pod. That's RomBkPod. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, happy reading.